Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man on the street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. It's a bright, sunny day. It's always bright and sunny in my head anyway, and although today it really is bright and sunny, so that's actually even better. Now, today is show number 348, and we have a guest with us on the phone. We're going to introduce him here in just a second, and his name is Dr. Mike Tabor. But before I do, let me just, you know, kind of remind folks that by the time we speak again next Sunday, Dentistry from the Heart will have already happened. And so what we're going to do next week is maybe do some interviews at the event, and we'll talk to some of the folks that come to my charity event and, you know, the people that are helping, people like the OSU Dental Mobile Coach and the Mount Carmel Mobile Healthcare Van and the American Red Cross for the blood drive, and some of the patients and some of the doctors and assistants and hygienists that have volunteered. So kind of tune in and watch for that. All right. So like I said, we have Dr. Mike Tabor. He is a dentist, but he does an interesting thing. Although he started in 1983 as a family dentist, he quickly got into something kind of cool, and it's the field of forensic dentistry, and we want to learn more about that from Dr. Tabor. He also wrote a book called Walk of Death. So, hey, Dr. Tabor, thank you so much for being on my show this morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning.
No problem. No problem. I'm a little curious what a dentist from Nashville... How a dentist from Nashville winds up getting recruited to work at Ground Zero, identifying the victims. And by the way, today's show, because it's so close to 9/11, the anniversary of 9/11, we're going to talk about what happened at Ground Zero, and Dr. Tabor was involved in identifying victims at Ground Zero. So tell us about that, and how does a dentist from Nashville wind up doing that?
Good question. Actually, in 2001, I happened to be president of the American Board of Forensic Odontology, which is a group of dentists throughout the world who are specialized in forensic identification. It's actually a specialty of forensic science rather than a specialty in dentistry, although we use the principles that all dentists, dental assistants, and dental hygienists know quite well, and that is the clinical charting of existing restorations or fillings that are in your teeth. Anyway, that organization has some of the most seasoned veterans in forensic identification, going back to the late 70s when forensic identification became introduced into the United States anyway with the media. And that was with Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was the first person to be convicted and executed of a capital offense where everything was circumstantial except a bite mark that he left on his victim.
Wow.
Anyway, so a lot of the diplomates for the American Board of Forensic Odontology volunteered their services after 9/11 to the Office of the Medical Examiner in New York City. And one of our board members served at that time, does the same thing for the five boroughs of Manhattan that I do for the state of Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
And so he asked a group of people to come kind of in waves, because you gotta keep in mind New York City, the largest city in the United States, has death and crime scene investigation every day. Even on 9/11, so their facilities were taxed physically to the limits.
Wow! So does that mean they had to set up like a portable facility,
facility? We did. We had to set up a portable facility for the storage of the bodies. You got to remember that not much happened the first week, because when the towers fell, we had no idea whether there were 3,000 or 30,000 people in this rubble.
Right.
And had no way of determining it. You know, in an airplane crash, we have a flight manifest list where we know the names of the victims. It's a matter of sorting it out.
Right, matching
from
this
that
with that
close population base. And but yet in at the World Trade Center, just the opposite is the case. In fact, it's what we call an open population base. A lot of people don't realize, but folks from 83 different countries died at 9/11 that day. Not just the United States, Mexico, and Canada. Just a tremendous international smorgasbord of humanity, and that certainly complicated the matter. But it was a challenge that we'll all remember for the rest of our lives.
I want to talk a lot more about 9/11 Ground Zero, but I'm assuming that your book, Walk of Death, the work that you did at Ground Zero somehow helped you write this book or entered into your thought process. Is that true?
It is. It certainly is. The book, Walk of Death, is it's a bit autobiographical. It is based upon true case files. Of course, the names and the cities have been changed, so this book is a forensic novel, but it is based upon true case files. And the protagonist in the book, Dr. Chris Walsh, in his attempt to solve a cold case murder that has lasted almost a decade, with his inability to come up with the identity of this John Doe, has reflections throughout our book about his times at Ground Zero and the struggles and the emotional strain that the post-traumatic stress disorder had upon the healthcare workers at the medical examiner's office there in New York. So we make a lot of different references, have some stories that were told in the book that raced through his mind as he tries to solve the other mystery that's going on inside the storyline of the book.
Yeah, post-traumatic stress disorder. I don't think people realize at first that could affect somebody that wasn't in a combat zone, hadn't been shot at. But here they were working with all of these mangled victims' bodies and pieces, and you can't unsee something. So once you see something terrible, it's always ingrained in your mind, right?
Absolutely, that's a good point. As a matter of fact, I had over a decade of experience in this line of work, and you got to remember. Hope nobody's eating breakfast right now, but it's not a very pretty sight. The bodies are either burned, mutilated, decomposed, or skeletonized. So we had quite a bit of experience at this kind of thing over the years, but going to 9/11 was totally different. It's the most surreal experience in my life, and I think probably the reason, as you mentioned a second ago, and that is we had to deal with the family, interaction with the families, and as we walked into work every day, walking past these throngs of people who were holding up signs of their missing loved ones outside the medical examiner's office, begging the employees and the first responders going in to try to keep a heads up and look out for the face of this loved one's family member.
Wow.
We have no experience at dealing with this type of encounter, and we were ill-prepared and ill-trained because we've never done it before. And that right there is what causes, as much as anything, this the emotional scarring that takes place, not only from the victims who, of course, lost their life, but the family members who will forever miss their loved one, but actually those that made the identifications as well.
Well, and on top of that, not only did you have to walk by them when you went to work, but then once you thought you had a match, an identity determined, then you have to invite family members to come in and confirm it.
Yeah. Yes, and that's just so tough because, as I said, you know, we have no training at it. I don't do that in the state of Tennessee. In other cases that I work, when I do an identification, it's a... I don't mean to sound insensitive, but if you don't keep this whole procedure quite clinical, it could drive you crazy if you weren't careful.
Well, not like that. Wouldn't it affect your judgment?
The other individuals, actually, that work with us are in charge of on a day-to-day basis of notifying the next of kin that we have, in fact, confirmed the identity of their loved one. And it's not something that we participate with at all. And as a result, we remain ignorant and weren't really baptized into that field of skill set until we were at ground zero.
Wow, wow. So Walk of Death is like an autobiography of you under a different name, kind of bringing your experiences from that episode into a book form.
That's right.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. So, you know what? I think what we're going to do is we're going to do Dr. Kvitko's question of the day right now. And but before we do, we want you to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kvitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kvitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kvitko's question of the day.
And let me remind folks that the winner is going to receive free flowers from Weisdember Florist delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. The number to call is 459-9769. That's 459-9769. The question, as you know, my guest today is a forensic dentist. His name is Dr. Mike Tabor. Besides being a forensic dentist, he has also written a crime novel. What is the name of that novel? Is it A, Walk of Death, B, Mystery of the Disappearing Teeth, or C, Running with Gum Disease? All right, the winner receives free flowers from Weisdember Florist. They'll be delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. Go ahead and call 459-9769, 459-9769. Call now.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kvitko, let's go!
I've bet everyone knows someone who is afraid of the dentist. In fact, 40% of Americans don't go to the dentist on a regular basis. The number one reason? Fear. Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we've been doing intravenous sedation since 1985, and we offer several sedation options, so we're certain we can help you. Want to be sedated for a filling? We do that. Want to be sedated for a cleaning? We do that. How about a root canal or a crown? We can sedate you for those too. Give us a call at 614-262-9588 or go to drkvitko.com.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko ici sur votre radio préférée.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Are your teeth crooked and while you would like them straight, there's no way you would wear braces for 2 years? What if I told you we could straighten your teeth in 6 months, between now and your next cleaning? Would you be interested? Call us,
262-9588.
Hi, I'm Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1. I flew all the way to Columbus to have Dr. Kvitko do my cosmetic dentistry, and I am so happy with the results. Thanks, Dr. Kvitko. You're the best. Just so you know, I'm going to come back to have you do my regular dental care, too. I can't wait.
All right, we're back. We have four callers on the line. We have, in no special order, Betty, Mary, Alex, and Tim. And Dr. Tabor, would you please pick a number from 1 to 4?
Try number 3.
Number 3? That would be Tim. Hey, Tim, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. This is great.
Good, good. Well, thank you for listening, first of all. And do you have the answer to the question, what is the name of Dr. Tabor's book?
It's A. It's A Walk of Death.
That's correct. The Walk of Death. Walk of Death. There is no the. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. Okay, well, stay on the line, Tim, please, because we want to get your information so we can send you those flowers from Weisdember, okay? Okay. All right. So, hey, Dr. Tabor. Now, you know, it seems like crazy times because, you know, here we thought 9/11 was the worst thing that could happen, and now we have beheadings, and I just don't understand what it is that makes people want to kill other people for what I think is no apparent good reason. What do you think?
I think we're all just walking around with their jaws on the floor with this ISIS business and everything, thinking what shoe might possibly drop after this, because we know it's not a matter of if something like this will happen again, but when will it happen again? And yeah, I think it gives all of us in the United States a bit of uneasiness, grappling with a problem that we don't seem to be able to remedy, because it's a whole different type. If you look back in the history of the United States, we don't have a war against terrorists ever in the past. If there is such a thing as a conventional war, we're certainly in a conflict now that has a new set of boundaries and no standards whatsoever. It's a bit frustrating.
Right. I'm not the best historian, but it seems to me, I was kind of thinking about this, and it seems like the Japanese kamikaze pilots might have been the very first time that something like that happened, where somebody would take their own life to kill others.
Right, right.
And I just, you know, my father used to say that more people have been killed in the name of God than anything. And if you look, everywhere there's a conflict, it seems to be about religion.
Sad but true. Sad but true.
And most religions preach, you know, to be kind and not judge, and, you know, just kind of take care of your own area. And of course, there's always the people that want to convert people to their way of thinking, but most religions don't go out and kill them if they don't. Oh, and you know what? Hey, Dr. Tabor, I just forgot. I meant to ask you, could we also give away a free copy of your book today?
Oh, that'd be great. I'd be happy to.
Okay. All right, so we'll get that. I'll get you the address of the winner, and we'll so maybe you can just ship it directly or something.
I'll be happy to ship it directly to them if you give me that address.
Okay, that sounds great. So the point is this terrible sense of people wanting to kill what we think are innocent people. Because I'll tell you what, the United States, it seems like we help everybody. We just, whenever there's a flood, whenever there's something terrible that's happened, an earthquake, volcanic eruption, war, we're the ones that are the ones to first send supplies and help the best way we can. And it seems like we get criticized the most for trying to help. Does that feel the same to you?
It absolutely does. You know, take a country like Australia or New Zealand, a very large country. You never hear of them participating in anything like this at all. It's almost like there are many, many countries that have quite substantial size, have the theory, you know, live and let live, and we'll be alone and we'll leave you alone and you do what you want to do. But, of course, the United States has a totally different opinion about that than countries like Australia do.
Yeah, and so it just seems to come back and haunt us. And I think it's jealousy, because people are jealous of our success, and that's why they hate us. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. I remember right after 9/11, unfortunately, I got an email from a forensic dentist in Australia who I happen to know, and he was quite critical of the United States and their desire to go in and, quote, ride roughshod, close quote, over all the other countries in the world. And when is the U.S. going to stop realizing that the rest of the world doesn't want to be like the United States? Well, I got to tell you, I don't know if he's right or if he's wrong, but it was very offensive to me at a time where I hadn't even gotten my orders to come to New York and do the identifications. But at that time was certainly not the time that I need criticism from an international colleague about how my American government operates. I don't know why we do what we do, but we do. And so supposedly it's to keep communism from spreading and perforating the entire world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we need to keep doing what we're doing, but maybe try to get that. We're almost going on a marketing campaign and say, because see, we'll send people food, and then when they complain, they don't like the flavor, they don't like the kind of cheese we sent. And it's like, well, at least we sent you something, you know?
It's kind of tough, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So we're going to have to go to another break. You can hang with us, right?
Sure.
Okay, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, here with Dr. Mike Tabor, and we'll be right back.
This is Clark Kellogg. Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we pride ourselves in being a one-stop shop, and we find our patients really appreciate it. Let's face it, no one likes being sent all over town for various procedures, and yet that is what happens at most dental offices. Need a root canal? We do that. Need a dental implant placed? We do that. Need gum surgery, wisdom teeth removed, or your teeth straightened? We do those as well. Why not give us a try? Call us at 614-262-9588 or go to drkavitko.com.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kavitko aquí en su sesión favorita.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kavitko. I'm intensely dedicated to providing the absolute best dental care. The word mediocre isn't in my vocabulary. I just won't take shortcuts. Isn't that what you want in the person you trust with sharp objects in your mouth? Of course it is. However, people tend to assume that high quality means expensive. But guess what? We're more affordable than you think. Our fees are about the same as one of those chains, but with us, you get my 34 years of experience and my unwavering commitment to quality. Discover for yourself. Call us at 614-262-9588 or go to drkavitko.com.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkavitko@aol.com.
I'm Grandpa, and I go to Dr. Kavitko, and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
Does it hurt when you smile?
If you're just joining us, we are speaking with Dr. Mike Tabor. He is a forensic dentist from Nashville. He has written a book called Walk of Death. And so, Dr. Tabor, tell me, can you give me a little synopsis about Walk of Death without, like, you know, spilling the beans, so to speak, to make people want to buy it, right?
This is the first book I've written. I've just finished my second one, but Walk of Death is basically...
Oh, wait a minute. I know what the second one is going to be called, Running with Gum Disease, right?
That would be a good one. That would be.
I'm
Out
sorry.
Of the Darkness actually is the name of this one, but gum disease certainly is of great importance. Walk of Death is basically the story of a 10-year search for the identity of a man who was murdered on the side of an interstate by two drug dealers who picked him at random only because they wanted a body to place in their car, burn their car up, and stage the death of one of the two drug dealers. One of their guys was married, and his wife had a life insurance policy on him. He had made the statement that he thought he was worth more dead than alive, and so they decided to act upon it.
Oh, boy.
So they killed him in a cross-country trek from Albuquerque, New Mexico, back to Nashville. This hitchhiker was a country music wannabe. He was coming to Nashville to seek his fortune and to perhaps be the next Garth Brooks or Alan Jackson. And so when the murder takes place and the car is burned, the reader follows the journey of how this entire thing played out. And they were successful in staging his death, actually faked a funeral and had an entire visitation at the funeral home and a burial and a tombstone. And only a couple of years later did Loose Lips finally, one night when he had too many beers at the local bar, he let a few things slip. And long story short, of course, he had to be hiding because all the neighbors thought that he was dead. And so he got out one day and was riding his motorcycle and got stopped by the police for a burned-out taillight. Mm. And the counterfeit driver's license he produced was a very poor one. And so when the police asked about that, he confessed. And, of course, they were suddenly not very interested in a burned-out taillight, but wanted to know, well, who's buried in your grave? And they said, I have no idea. It was just a random act. So it's the first and only time in Tennessee history where we've had a murder trial where no one in the courtroom knew who the victim was.
Oh.
Now, think about that a minute.
Yeah.
That is a really bizarre situation. And so they pled out and got 15 years credit for time served. And as a matter of fact, the two killers get out of prison next summer.
Oh, boy.
So it took us 10 years to solve the murder. I'll stop right there so some of your listeners might want to pick up a copy of the book and read it. It's quite a bizarre twist on how we were able to confirm the identity after 10 long years of searching.
Wow. We had a similar case here in Columbus called the Just Sweats case, where the co-owners of It Was Just Sweats, it was sweatpants, sweatshirts, you know, the college attire, and they actually found another person and killed him and pretended that it was one of the two. It was very similar, and they caught him off the coast of Greece in a yacht he had named Carpe Diem.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. It just goes to show you that that the truth is often stranger than fiction.
Right. How can people access your book? How can we get it?
I have a website that deals with a lot of the things that we've been talking about, and that is forensic dental identification. It's just my name, drmiketabor.com. That's drmiketabor.com. And it's got a lot of different blogs about my involvement with the identification of James Earl Ray and the Martin Luther King murder, and all different types of forensic methods where we help to solve mysteries based upon who the identification of the victim is. The second way you can get the book off my website. You also can order the book on Amazon.com and just do a search under Dr. Mike Tabor. Or you, of course, for your Kindle listeners or Kindle readers out there, you can order it off of Kindle as well.
Okay, that's cool. Good to know. So, folks, go out and buy that book. It's called Walk of Death. And I wanted to just tie in a little dentistry. You mentioned the bite mark on Ted Bundy, or that Ted Bundy had created, helped convict him.
Right.
And you also mentioned how clinical charting is very important. And also, I wanted to throw out there that you do a lot of your examination or connecting the dots through dental x-rays, right?
Exactly.
So you probably know this, but first of all, there's 40% of the nation don't go to the dentist on a regular basis. So those people don't have dental records. So our advice as dentists to them would be go to the dentist, right?
Exactly.
Because if for no other reason, you'll have a dental record. The other thing is some of the people that come seem to want to tell us when it's okay to take an x-ray rather than us deciding when it's appropriate to have an x-ray taken. And for the same reason, you can't identify somebody if they haven't had an x-ray in 10 years, or it makes it a lot harder, right?
Much, much more difficult. The older the x-ray is, the less helpful it's going to be, because so much more time has gone on and the person could have had dentistry done somewhere else, and we don't have any documentation of that. That throws us a huge curveball.
Because you have an x-ray where there's no fillings or no gum disease or bone loss, and then you have the patient has, you know, 4 silver fillings and 3 tooth-colored ones, and it's like, I don't think this is the same person, when in fact it is, but the x-rays are so old, it doesn't look like the same person.
Exactly. You're right on the spot.
Okay, so your advice to listeners when it comes to their dental care to help you do your job would be what?
Absolutely follow the recommendations of your dentist regarding clinical examinations and periodic dental x-rays.
And by the way, if you have crooked teeth and you bite somebody, isn't that almost like a fingerprint? As opposed to somebody with straight teeth where it's a little harder to kind of say, this is definitely that person.
That's exactly right.
So get your teeth straightened.
then you can commit a bite mark crime and perhaps get away with it.
We're not saying that.
Just kidding.
Yeah, definitely not saying that. Well, Dr. Tabor, thank you so much for being on my show. It's been really, really cool to have you on the show, and maybe we can do it again sometime.
I'd love to. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today, and I wish you the best, and wish the best to the Bengals today.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Go Bengals. I met a couple of those guys, Wallace Gilbury and,
cool.
and Carlos Dunlap.
Great.
Got to interview them for the show.
Cool.
All right, so as I mentioned, next Sunday when you tune in, my Dentistry from the Heart event will have already been held, September 12th, and so we're going to have interviews from or with people that are there, you know, partners and patients and dentists and so on. So be sure to tune in next week, every Sunday morning right here on your favorite station. Goodbye.
This is Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1. urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kavitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kavitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.